This episode is brought to you by Hulu, presenting Legacy, the true story of the LA Lakers. From the backboard to the front office, Legacy captures the remarkable rise and unprecedented success of one of the most iconic franchises in professional sports. Featuring new revealing interviews from players, coaches, and execs, this 10-part documentary series chronicles this extraordinary story from the inside. Watch Legacy, the true story of the LA Lakers now, only on Hulu.
What up,
what up,
though? Ball Hawk Show.
What up, what up, what up, though? Ball Hawk Show. Yeah.
If you know, you know. If you know, you know. Bricklayers in ball shorts, coaching from the side of the ball court. If you know, you know. One stop like a Walmart. We got the tennis balls for the wrong sport. If you know, you know. If you know about the carport, the trap door's supposed to be awkward. If you know, you know. That's the reason we ball for. Circle round twice for the encore. If you know, you know.
Man, it's been a minute since I did the intro. Since I've been doing spaces all the time. But we here. We here on this Monday, February 7th. Discussing UVA football, just UVA sports, man, because we'll talk a little basketball as well with the basketball team playing Duke tonight at 7 o'clock. How many of y'all going to tune in for that? I'm going to be looking in for that. See if the squad is going a little run, man. Just beat Miami the other night. Boy, Reese Beckman been in his bag, being a playmaker. Yeah. I wonder if he can win Defensive Player of the Year, even though our record's not that good. What y'all think? I think he can still win Defensive Player of the Year. Anybody? You can speak up. You can unmute yourself. No,
I think he definitely is playing well enough to win Defensive Player of the Year. But a lot of times when your record don't show the whole story, you don't get the credit you maybe do. But I mean, he's top 10 in the country steals per game. He's best turnover assist ratio in the whole ACC. I mean, dude's balling. I know he only averages right around 8 or 9 points. And honestly, I believe he could probably boost that by about 3 or 4 points if he really pushed the envelope, but he lets the game come to him a lot of the time. But the dude's a baller, and he's only going to get better. If he don't get the respect he's due this year, you better believe it's going to be next year. He will.
Yeah, it looked like he's being more assertive offensively as well. I've been seeing people rave about just his overall court vision, his ability to pass and give you pocket passes for shooters in which they don't have to adjust. They could just catch and shoot because it's right there in the pocket, depending on their dominant hand. What's the young boy from Indiana? What's his last name?
Franklin.
Franklin. When he's hitting from the outside, they're a totally different team.
Facts.
He's streaky. He's very streaky, but when he's on, he's explosive. He can shoot the ball.
He adds a whole nother dimension to the team when he's on like that, and not even on like he ain't even got to be on like flamethrower on, just shooting a 38 or better percent from three makes a hell of difference. And he made, I mean, when he's on, that's what we can do to a team like Miami. Because even though the defense isn't, I guess, quote unquote, what it usually is in the rankings and efficiency wise, we still got a good defense. And when you add the element of Armand Franklin's scoring ability, it frees up. And you saw it in the Miami game in the first half. He was on. And next thing you know, in the second half, I'm having a brain fart, but number one,
is that Gardner?
Yeah, Jaden Gardner. Next thing you know, he scored like 10 straight points in the second half because they're getting out to Franklin, which don't clog up the lane. Next thing you know, Franklin's getting buckets. It just adds a whole nother dimension to the game. And it, and when they play like that, you can beat a team like Miami. Yeah. Now, Duke is a tall task tonight. I think we're all cautiously optimistic. but Duke's a whole nother animal. But when they play like they did against Miami, you have a chance to beat those type of teams.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely, man. You know, it's good just to see the team respond offensively, because that's the thing with Duke. Like, over the years, Duke, I mean, even when we won the national championship, like, I remember Duke coming here, and that's when Zion blocked Dre's three-pointer, and LeBron was sitting courtside with Rondo. And I just knew we'll beat Duke that game with that team, and they beat us. But then, you know, we ran the tables when it mattered. But you want to see the squad just show up. But I know a lot of folks aren't really confident that Virginia could beat Duke. They're just being realists, because you got to go off what you see. I mean, yeah, you want to be at home and always be confident that your team can win, and everybody always has a chance to win. That's the reason why you play the game. But when you look at the last five games and you compare the teams, like, Duke just beat the hell out of North Carolina. Like, if you're a North Carolina fan, I saw what they're doing to Hubert Davis right now. They're killing him.
Yeah, I mean, Duke's just that year that you're talking about with Zion. We played them twice that year. We lost both times. I think we lost that year. We lost, I want to say, three or four games. And I think two of them were to Duke.
Yeah, two of them was to Duke. Yep, two of them was to Duke.
And when it comes to the March Madness, I'll be honest with you. I mean, we it was biting our nails all the way to the national championship. But to be honest with you, it's about matchups a lot.
Absolutely.
It really is. And a lot of people don't pay no mind to that. But I'll be honest with you. When we won the national championship, I guarantee you, if we would have matched up against Duke, as good, not to say we couldn't have beat them that year, because I think we could have. We played well against them. But the matchup just, it didn't favor us. Mm-hmm. And the matchup's not going to favor us tonight. I'll be honest with you. I was looking at how, like, player against player, like how it matches up tonight. It's about as bad a matchup as it gets for UVA tonight. Not to say that Duke can't come out and lay a dud and we can come up and beat him, but it's not a good matchup. We're going to have to play our best ball game, and they're going to have to struggle.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting game for sure, man. See my dog OG, who in the building, was good with you. Before we get started any further, salute to the sponsors. Salute to Aber Insurance. Go to aberinsurance.net for all your insurance needs. That's home, business, auto, life insurance. The great people at Aber. Also, Valentine's Day is coming up, men and ladies. Ladies, if you want to get your man a nice gift, go to manscaped.com and use the promo code The Ball Hawk Show. Get them some boxers, a t-shirt, that lawnmower 4.0, some spray for that, you know, the southern region. Make sure he's good. Just go to manscaped.com, use the promo code The Ball Hawk Show. Get 20% off of your total purchase, and his balls will thank you. I mean, that's just the slogan. So don't think I came up with that. I didn't. Okay. Also, got a new sponsor on tap. New to the Ball Hawk sponsorship team. That's Alcova Mortgage, man. Make sure you guys check up Alcova Mortgage. If you're looking to buy or refinance your home, put Alcova Mortgage in the game. Visit AlcovaHighlands.com for info. And if you need more info, check out the commercial.
Alcova Mortgage is here for good. We are locally owned, value great communication, and are committed to our Covington community. Call Alcova Mortgage Covington at 540-962-7152 or visit AlcovaHighlands.com to get in touch for your mortgage lending needs.
Alcova Mortgage, NMLS ID 40508. NMLS ConsumerAccess.org. Equal housing lender. Terms and conditions apply. All loans subject to credit approval.
All right. Now that we got the sponsors in the house, and if you want to be a proud sponsor of the Ball Hawk Show podcast, just DM me. Or you go to myhawkins.com, go to contact us, and it'll send me a message directly, and I can email you the various sponsorship packages that are available. So now let's transition to football. Well, I see we got a new speaker, and they got basketball fanatic. Basketball fanatic, did you want to
talk about
the UVA basketball team?
Ball Hawk, this is Travis Huskow.
Yeah, what up, Travis? What's good,
man? Yeah, man. I just wanted I just had to respond to what Jake was saying about the national championship team. I just got to put this out there. The reason why we lost that second game to Duke, two things happened. One, they shot record books, right? They didn't shoot like that any other game the whole other season. And matter of fact, R.J. Barrett didn't shoot like that again until like this year in the pros. He had like six threes that game. The other thing is people forget, Diakite got hurt. And if you look at the tournament run, Diakite was an X factor. He was one of the most consistent players through the whole tournament. So you think about what he brought on down low to help try to maintain Zion. And I was like, I couldn't let this whole podcast go through without getting that out there. I really think if Diakite would have played that whole game, we would have won. Because if you also look at it, he had like our first like 9 or 10 points that game before he got hurt. So he was an X factor. So I just had to get that in there before we yeah, that's all.
Oh, please say you, man.
You mind if I respond to that?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I see what you're saying. And Diakite did start off that game hot. And like you said, they were shooting out of their minds. And I acknowledge that. But as far as matchup, like, we didn't have, like, DeAndre Hunter could not guard Zion and RJ. You can't have DeAndre on both guys. As much as I love Ty and I love Kyle, they weren't going to be able to help guard those type of guys. And Diakite, as athletic as he was as far as verticality, blocking shots and such, physically he would not have matched up to Zion very well. And I said I think that we could have beat them if we played well. But like you said, both games, I felt like they played both of their best games of the year against us. And when they play like that, with that type of star power, it was going to be a tough matchup. That's all I was saying. I'm not saying that I thought that we couldn't have beat them, because I do think we could have beat them, but it was a tough matchup.
Okay.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, man. I mean, basketball is all about matchups. But the good thing is with the pack line, that's a team defense. But it's still tough because Zion can literally play the five. And we saw that as athletic as Huff is, like Zion, that's what the game in Duke, when he dunked with his right hand and got fouled in his head by J-Huff. That's not a slight to Jay. It's just Matt. Zion was he's just a freak, man. Hard to guard. It was hard to guard him in college.
Hey, Michigan State figured him out, though.
Facts.
Huh? Say again?
He said Michigan State.
Oh, I just said Michigan State. Michigan State did it. I think the team's scheme defense, like you said, like I always remember you saying this, I know where my help coming from.
Yeah.
It was like that rotation, and we started that team defense. Remember, we was top five both in offense and defense efficiency that year. Mm-hmm. So I think if we had Diakite in the mix, we could have slowed him down just enough to win.
Very possible. It's very possible.
Yeah. But salute to those guys. They still won a national championship. It's time to get into some football talk. Salute to the squad, man. Good luck to y'all tonight. Definitely, man. Play your game. Play your game. Understand that they're playing in Duke, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. The Cameron crazies are crazy. The Thailand logo is still there from when he splashed that three from way downtown and made the little chili to go, oh, my God, where did he shoot that from? But
not to mention the time we beat them when everybody knows Grayson Allen traveled.
When he traveled. when Merle blocked the shot and everything. And, man, bro.
Cameron.
Yeah, man. Hey, man, that's what home cooking all about. We finally got some home cooking. The past game where we shot, how many free throws? This is the most free throw I ever seen shoot.
Miami didn't shoot a single free throw. That was even crazier.
I take home cooking. I never complain about home cooking. I'm at home. Should be tougher for you, you know? So I never complain about that. So let's jump into UVA football. The schedule was released, and we can have fun. We can look at the schedule. Man, to me, I think it's a schedule that can be favorable for the squad to, I ain't going to say how many wins because I don't even know who's starting yet. But when you're just looking at teams on paper, you know, we start out with Richmond. Everybody's like, oh, that should be a win. But don't I like, we never lost to a Richmond before. Or Wilmington, Mary. But with that being said, we're starting out with Richmond on September 3rd. And September 10th, we go to Champaign, Illinois, and play Illinois, who was not that good last year. We beat them pretty soundly. Then we play ODU here at home on September 17th. That should be another favorable game. Like, we should start out the first three games as favorable. Then you go to Syracuse and you see Coach and I and Coach Beck. Salute to my guys. They're in Syracuse, New York now. Syracuse, they're running back. Is that running back coming back? Anybody know that for sure?
I'm not sure. I think he is, though, because I ain't seen his names in the draft conversation.
Well, he ain't going to touch the ball anywhere. Now they're offensive coordinator, so I ain't worried about him. No, hey, Dr. Bob, I'm still your guy now, but you know damn well you ain't giving him that ball. So I appreciate you. Please be our biggest teammate that night, Coach, by not giving him the ball. It's on a Friday night. Yeah, just throw the ball, Coach. That's what you do. Throw the ball. Don't – if you're – look, Coach, now, if you give him the ball 20-plus times, I'm going to be pissed, okay? Don't learn your lesson once you leave here, okay? But don't do it.
Is this Petty Hawk talking?
Yeah, that's Petty Hawk. Don't do it. Don't learn your lesson, okay? Don't go feeding the bell. I mean, you did it with Jordan Ellis. I know you can do it, but damn it, throw it around and a lot. Don't give it to that bell cow. You still work for us. At least that game. Then next we go to Duke. So that's back-to-back away games. That's a Saturday game. October 1st is, no, that's not a bye week yet. And then our next game is versus Louisville. Is Cunningham back?
Yes. He's definitely back.
Then we go to Georgia Tech, which I never went to Georgia Tech. And it's a Thursday night game after a bye week. They go to Georgia Tech October 20th. So it's a bye week after Louisville. So we'll stop right there. So we just do the first half of the season. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. After those first six games, on paper, this is where it's fun. And I hate doing this, but I'm going to do it to y'all. After the first six games of the season, we got Richmond, Illinois, ODU, Syracuse, Duke, Louisville. What do you think our record will be after six games? I know we don't know who the starters are, but damn it, I want some Homerisms and some isms. I want you to be Miss Cleo. And you can request to speak if y'all want to, but go ahead. Who want to go first?
I said 5-1. Did y'all see that receiving core that we got? Oh, my Lord.
So who would be the loss? Who would be the team that you feel like they'll possibly lose to in the first six?
Either Georgia Tech or Louisville.
Well, hold on. Georgia Tech is after. So Louisville is the sixth game before the bye. Georgia Tech is after the bye.
Okay.
So the first six, you got Richmond, Illinois, ODU, Syracuse, Duke.
Yeah, and Louisville.
Louisville. I'm gonna get some more people up in here.
The game that I think that we are more talented of a roster than Syracuse, that is a sleeper game that we got to go to Syracuse. Plus, we're going against a coach that may want to get back at us. You just don't know. That's a game that I think we should win, but we better not come. We better not show up thinking too highly of ourselves. We might get smacked in the damn mouth.
Okay. Who's next?
Willow, can you hear me?
Yeah.
First off, the running back from Syracuse, Sean Tucker, he was only a freshman, so he's not in the draft. So I did not see him in the portal, so I believe he's back.
Wait a minute. He was a damn freshman.
Yeah, he was a redshirt. He was a redshirt freshman.
Hold on, hold on.
What?
I gotta look this up.
Yeah.
Yo.
He was
that
a redshirt freshman.
Everything.
Yo, I mean, I'm not still there. God dang, I stand by what I said.
And my, excuse me. Looking at this schedule, I get very sort of like flashbacks to last year with an easier first half. And I know you haven't talked about the second half yet, but I see us 5-1, 6-1 going into that home stretch where we were the BYU game. But the only difference between last year and this year is that they're home games now. So that's the way that I see it.
So he got us 5-1. What was the one game you think we'll drop in the first six out of that?
Louisville.
Like, what's a Louisville game? Okay, yeah, Cunningham is a beast. He's a beast. It took luck for us to win.
Is Louisville at home?
Yes,
yep,
that's at home.
That's here.
See, I got us at 5-1, but I got a feeling we go. I don't know that Syracuse game. I got us at 5-1. Yeah,
okay.
I got us at 5-1 with a loss to Syracuse.
Lost to Syracuse. All right. Who has to say, OG, what's good, my guy?
What's happening? What you mean?
Ain't nothing, man. We talking schedule right now, you know. Like Woody Page used to say, if you look at the schedule, that's what we doing right now. Having a little fun.
I don't know. I'll give a summary of it because I don't know if I'm going to lose reception or not on the way back on this road. But I see us between 8 to 10 wins, period. You
whoa,
can
whoa,
pick and
whoa,
choose
whoa,
your losses.
Whoa, you skipping. Wait
pick
a minute. We just
pick
wait.
And choose them.
Wait, we
that's
doing
all
the first
like, six. I might drop service. That's why I gave you the whole one at once.
No, you can't do that. You got
to. Well, first six, all right, if I got to just drop the first six,
yeah,
I'm going to go 6-0. Louisville does not scare me. With a different scheme, a different offense, managing the ball and managing the clock and pounding the rock, we wouldn't need to depend on a field goal. So I'm not expecting that same thing. Not worried about Syracuse. Shout out my guy Jason. I know the quarterback's coming to play, though. 100%. That quarterback, the two quarterbacks they picked up, they got better as soon as they signed that paper. But they left tackle. He better get his fingers ready, and he better have some soft hands. Because I'm expecting all the gumshoe that game. I'm expecting all of it. QB sneaks from the 13-yard line and shit. You feel me?
Yeah.
All of that. 13-yard QB sneaks. The game on the line, we might throw.
Oh, yeah, he's going through that service. He's going through that bad area, as he said.
Hey, I'll say this. I will laugh my ass off if against Syracuse they throw that damn pass to the tackle.
Yo, for real, man. And that's the shame because how many – Coach did it, what, twice what, in his whole 6 years here, 7 years?
Mm-hmm. One time it worked.
It got called back because of Bobby, but, yeah, it worked.
Right.
It was Bobby.
That's what hurt me, y'all, because y'all see the tight end is getting – Woods, he getting all this love now. And I'm like, bruh, we couldn't design one play to him right there? Oh, my Lord.
Yeah. Hey, Bobby, why you get your chance to say what you think our record be after the first six games?
Yeah, I said the 5-1 with the loss to Louisville.
Okay. Yeah, I wasn't looking down on my phone, so I didn't see who was talking.
Yeah, you're good. You can take me off if there's more speakers.
No, you're good. You're good. Right. You're straight. Yeah, man, like just first glance, because I haven't, like, respectfully, and to anybody that's listening live or going to listen on the recap when I upload it to all major podcast platforms, we're not taking into account any incoming players or transfers any team has or any players or transfers that we have. We're just doing like our preseason folks do. They just look at the paper, look at the team, what they did last year and how they feel like they would do this year, and they guesstimate who's going to start and who's going to be an impact. So I'm not going through Richmond's roster. I didn't go through Illinois' roster. We played Illinois last year. They had a veteran offensive line, and those guys I think were pretty much like us. Like, they pretty much going to have a new offensive line. I don't know for sure. I could be wrong, but
on it? honestly, Hawk, if we don't start, this is just how I feel. If we don't start off at least 5-1, I'd be a little disappointed, to be honest with you, because to know how hard it gets down the stretch. 5-1, I mean, I guess 4-2, should it be the floor? But, like, it feels like we have to get started off with a bang.
Yeah, and we're gonna get to the second half because I got some devil's advocate because it's almost like seemed like it'd be the reverse because like so respectfully, and I'm saying this respectfully, don't kill me, hometown school. Everybody's gonna talk of Richmond and ODU as win just because of the tiers, like the name. Those the two cupcakes and quotations, like you should beat them. Not saying ODU can't come up here and scare the hell out of you again. Not saying Richmond can't come over here and beat you again, but when those names are thrown out there, the fans expect you to beat those two. Now, when you travel to Illinois, it makes me think of when we went to Indiana and it started raining. What was that, 2019? Yeah. That's Bryce Perkins. No, was it Bryce Perkins' first season? Damn, what year is that? Anyway, when we lost to Indiana down there. But the Syracuse game does worry me because of the running back. But Petty Hawk said, Coach and I are not going to give him the ball. Duke, I don't know what to expect from Duke. So I got to chalk that one up as a dub. Cunningham does scare the hell out of me, but OG who made a great point, and I'll get you in here, Bama. He made a great point of the way we approach the game as an offense being more balanced can keep the ball out of his hands and provide him with less clock and put the onus on him to play Superman. So that's why he feels confident and the game is here at home. Bama, who was good with you?
What up, what up, what up?
What up, though?
Okay. I'm not counting out Illinois, but I think we'll have 5-1 or 6-0. However, and hear me clearly, we are not going to lose to Dr. Bob. It is not happening. There is no way we are losing to Dr. Bob.
No way.
No way.
Look, let me tell you something. Man, we go down there and lose to Dr. Bob, boys. Man, listen. Gonna be some angry folks. And that was 2018 when we went down there to Indiana. So yeah.
We can lose to Syracuse any year, but we are not losing in 2022.
That's true.
And I pray you're right. But I promise you, he gonna pull all the damn tricks out in the hat that week. I promise you that.
Good luck to Dr. Bob. I think Dr. Bob's going to have 1 year at Syracuse because Dino Babers got a foot out the door.
Okay.
But there's rumors out there that if that happens, that either Beck or Dr. Bob could be the next in line.
I would worry about Beck. I'm not worried about Dr. Bob.
But if Beck's the head coach, Dr. Bob ain't going nowhere.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, we do know that quarterback play will be better from Syracuse this year. I mean, that's a salute to Coach Beck.
I know that Coach Elliott said that they are looking to address the defensive side of the ball between now and the start of spring camp. But that is one side of the ball I got my eye on. I'm hoping to see a couple more guys come in the transfer portal defensively because even though we are still just as excited for that offensive side of the ball, there still are question marks for that defensive side of the ball no matter who we facing. So I'm hoping they address that. And if they do, I think we're all going to be very confident with those first six games of the season.
And what if we already have adequate replacements here and they just coached up differently?
You might be right. And I take that too.
I always like to throw that out there as well because I understand the transfer portal and inheriting somebody from a different school. But to me, as much as they do have experience, unless it's somebody that's a known name that transfers to, like, say, the defensive backfield, like, to me, he's just like the players that we have, and if that makes sense. It's like, and I think Coach Elliott alluded to it, that he's confident that the guys that he has and the coaches that he has, that they can create a perfect storm in which they could coach to the strengths that each individual defensive back that's here has, and then the scheme and then the pass rush can better help guys on the back end. Because that's one thing I could say as a former defensive back, you're a product of your pass rush. Unless you're just an elite guy that could just cover for more than 2.5-3 seconds. If you don't have a pass rush and you're already struggling as far as whether it's stiff hips, bad eyes, bad weight distribution out of your break. If guys aren't getting the quarterback space and making them uncomfortable and throwing them before, like a half a second before they want to, then you're going to get bombed on Betty. Because as bad as our secondary was last year, you got to look at what our offense did to other secondaries too. Like when they weren't getting home, it was pitch and catch. And that's just football today. If you don't have a pass rush, I don't care how good your secondary is, they're not going to consistently make plays on the ball because there's so much room. It's that the rules are geared for the offense to be successful because that generates more points. And to me, it's more important for that linebacker crew to be in unison with the defensive line and create habit to allow those guys in the secondary to make plays on the ball, be able to play while looking at the quarterback versus playing and just looking at the receiver. So I'm anxious also.
And I don't want to discredit the guys on the current roster. Like you said, they could be coached up and be a whole different player this year. But it does sound like from his press conference that at the very least, Tony Elliott's looking to add depth. He doesn't He doesn't like the depth right now on that D line. It sounds like he was talking about he wanted to add some D linemen and some linebackers. And I mean, hey, if y'all have them, we'll take them. We just want ball players. We want good ball players. But it does sound like he wants to attack the depth of the defense.
Yeah, you have to have depth because injuries take place. You got to make sure guys are available and ready. Just can't have bodies, but they got to be readily available to perform under the lights. And you just never know, man. With a different coach, it's a breath of fresh air for some players. They feel like they have an opportunity now. The terminology, the way in which they teach any skill group, it just plays a role. Like, I've never been a part of a head coaching change here at UVA, but I was a part of assistant coaching changes. So it's a different terminology, and they have a different lens in which they see your talent. So your former offensive coordinator or former position coach might not have had as high a confidence in you as the new guy. So, you know, when you see that, you become that much more excited and in love with the game that you start to really hone in and work on your craft. And I'm interested to see, because I know the DBs are going to take it upon themselves to make sure that they aren't the reason if the defense struggles. Like, that's just how I feel. But there's some talent there. And, yeah, man. I do want to say it was refreshing to see when we looked at the class that was coming in, how we lost all these offensive linemen, and then we had, what, 7 that's included. To me, like, that's what you call reloading and going out there and addressing the need. And I know a lot of folks and Tech fans joke like, oh, UVA is going out, oh, it's a preferred walk-on in this school, UVA going to offer you a scholarship. It's like, bro, when it comes to recruiting, there is not a perfect science. So somebody could be a preferred walk-on at a different school and they could come here and they get a scholarship, or they cannot be a preferred walk-on there and we, you know, offer them a preferred walk-on here. You just never know how somebody's going to pan out. That's what I love about it. That's what I love about sports, love about just honing your craft and working on things, because the game isn't played on paper. And when you line up, you see the real, and you win games you're not supposed to, and you can lose games you're not supposed to, but that's why you compete. That's why you game plan. That's why you make adjustments, and you make adjustments to the adjustments, and you counter the adjustments to the adjustments. And that's what I love about football. I really do, because I can armchair quarterback hindsight 2020 all I want on the, behind this microphone. I never lose behind this microphone, and I'm going to always be right after the fact. After the game, I can give you every little bit of information on what they should have did, and I look like a genius, and I love it. But I always say, it's easier for me to do this now than when they was doing it in real time. Because I done looked at every play about 4 or 5 times. I looked at every position group. What they up, he should have did this with a step. Up, he should have did this. Oh, he should have looked there first. Up, he should have did this at the top of his route. Oh, he should have used, he should have cut on his blade versus cutting on his toes. Oh, man, he should have dropped his weight. Should have, could have, would have. So, go ahead, Steve.
Hey, Hawk, just the same thing. You know, giving up the big play, getting beat deep, trying to play catch up because they're out of position over and over and over again this year. Who's going to step up and be the captain of that squad? Who's going to be the one that says, I'm going to bring this to a different level, and we're going to say it's not going to happen again, but you know, who is it that I can hang that on? Who's going to step up and be our new captain? Especially, you know, for those defensive backs, but maybe, you know, who's the guy on defense that we're looking at right now?
That's a good question. Very good question.
I don't see any leadership, you know, right now.
Say it again.
I don't see a clear leadership, you know, person standing up and saying, you know, I'm going to take that on. I thought it was Noah, right?
Am I echoing to you? Okay, it's just me. So I could say Nick Jackson is a leader on defense. I could say AJ is a leader on defense. And those two guys jump out to me the most. So you have a linebacker and you have a guy in the secondary.
Leaders come up through the ashes every year. You're going to see probably a new guy this year really step up. That's the beauty of sports. Like Ball Hawk said, like, you're going to see a guy step up, a guy that you may not even think that's coming. He gets that new coach and it's a different dog. It's the wonderful thing about sports. Every year is a new year. You can change your story that very next year. So I think there's going to be some guys that step up. But first things first, I know we like to dog on the defensive back. So I was a defensive back in high school. So DBs always get the hard rep when there's a big play. But it needs to start with stopping the run. You stop the run, you make a team one-dimensional, and you get after that damn quarterback. And that's where it's going to start, is stopping the run.
Yeah.
Well, when do those leaders start to stand out, Hawk? Is that in the gym during the summer?
No.
Practice in the fall.
Don't get me wrong. You have weight room leaders and workout leaders. So you have guys that lead because they just love to work out. They're accountable in that sense. So it's going to be leadership there. And then when spring ball comes around now, and here's the thing. We have a new coach. Everybody's going to be out there just
putting
on a show because it's a blank slate. So that's why, like Jacob said, and when you echo what I was saying, when you offensive linemen, all those guys know Coach 2J, the ones that were like holdovers, they feel like they got the leg up versus all the guys coming in. They're familiar with him, familiar with what's expected from him, but it's still a new offense. Receivers, they know Coach Hagan, so they feel like we good. So it's no different for them, right? But the position that gave everybody cause a pause was the secondary. Well, you know what? All of them dudes are going to sell out. Why? Because it's new faces. They don't know you. And they're going to tell you, I don't care what you did last year. You don't know what I expect from my field corner, or my boundary corner, or from my safety. Like, how you played in Nick Howell's defense? It's not going to be how I want you to play in my, like, I may have different expectations for you. So that's why I'm excited, because they're going to come in there, speaking to your point, Steve, ready to lead the way. So it's going to be dogfight. And you're going to get a position group that's one of the best in the country. So they'll fry your ass day in, day out. And you have to live with it, because they're going to fry you. That group that you line up against every day, all you guys are secondary, Clary, King, all y'all, Sanker, AJ, Bratton, y'all know, you line up in front of three Wicks, pack your lunch. Line up in front of KT, pack your lunch. Line up versus Kemp, pack your damn lunch. Malachi Fields, pack your damn lunch. All of them, pack your damn lunch. We're going to make it hard on you. We're going to get all, like when I was in the pros, my job is to get you cut. If I don't get you cut, literally meaning cut from the team, was like a diamond. I'm cutting you because you're going to be that much more sharp and you're going to shine that much brighter. Make your teammate get cut or in either negatively or positively. But go ahead. What was you going to say?
I was just saying, and another thing, that's why I'm really happy that the spring game this year is kind of back to normal. Yeah. Because, and I want to say all those fans need to get out there to that spring game. You want to see what they got, you got to come see it. So mm-hmm. you, with the way the spring game is going to be set up this year, it's going to be, I mean, obviously it's different when a team with different colors line up on that other side of the ball and you really get to see what you're made of. But you're going to see some guys stand out in that spring game. So you want to see who's going to be the leaders that stand up, get to the spring game. Let's see what they got.
The running back's going to be energized because they're going to be touching that mug. I'm talking about really touching the football. Downhill, baby. Downhill. Chico back healthy. You're going to see why I was excited about him until he got hurt last year. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Playing one of the backers. Mm-hmm. We got backers. That linebacker crew, they could go. They could go. I mean, it's a beautiful thing, man, because it's like everybody wanted a new regime as far as the defense anyway, right? That's the elephant in the room. Everybody wanted a new leader on the defense. Well, you got your new leader on the defense, regardless of how it happened, it's here, period. And then you got an old legend on the coaching staff, coaching up front with another legend in NFL guys. You got two former greats that played defense here, that played in the pros, coaching, and Slade and Fenton. That's crazy.
And you saw what Tony Elliott also in the press conference, if y'all want to know about some of these younger guys, like he said, this young guy coming that just, he's an early enrollee, Steve Bracy, I think is his name. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He basically said, be ready for this guy. He's a leader. So he said that in the press conference. So I'm excited to see some of these young guys. I'm excited, you know?
Yep. And people, well, I think it was speaking more defense, but people want to speed. Go look at that sign of day central and click on a couple names. Them mamma jammers can run. We got two quarterbacks that can flat out pick them up and put them down. They can run. I'm talking about like national, like Davis Lane Jr. right up here at Liberty Christian. Yeah, I seen him run live. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then the boy from the Hurler, what is he from, Cali? Delaney Crawford? Mm-hmm, yeah. You want to speed? Mm-hmm. Oh, they got about it. Now, I know they want some speed on defense. I always told folks, the DBs, like, they can run because you've seen them haul people down. This is my last time to say this. I don't give a damn how fast somebody is straight line speed as a DB. Can your ass paddle flip your hips? Can you weave pedal? Can you route, like, your route pattern recognition? That's more important than straight. You ain't running straight that much. You backpedaling. So when people say, hawk, ball, hawk, we need more speed back, man, the hell we don't. No, we don't. We need dudes who can cover. Backpedal, flip, run. Capture the hip, looking lean. That's what I need. Because we have seen people break, and them dudes go get people. The speed is back there. Trust me. I won't worry about the straight line speed.
And you're right. It wasn't as much as you say people get burnt. You play DB long enough, you'll get burnt one or two times or more. But a lot of times we were just straight up out of position.
last year. It wasn't really speed. It was a guy running damn near free down the field because somebody was in the wrong position.
Yeah. I mean, I've got beat by plenty of receivers. I ain't get beat that damn much. I ain't going to say that. But I've got beat by receivers who were slower than me. Nine route. Because my technique sucked. My eyes was bad. I sat down on a route where they were still running straight ahead full speed. And when I try to look and lean them, they just push my hand off of them, knock me off balance. Boom. Ain't nobody ever questioned. Damn, Ball Hawk, we need more speed out of you. It's like, damn, what the hell was he doing? And I got beat off post routes by dudes who just ran a good route. Like, you could be fast and trash. If y'all ain't ever, hey, if they ain't want to tell you the truth, I'll tell you the truth. You could be fast and trash playing DB. Okay? And you could be slow and great playing DB. Okay? I mean, I could tell you some slow, great safeties we done had here. You're not very fast. But you can't tell on the field. They knew what to do.
People act like Bryce Hall was a burner. Bryce wasn't a burner. He was physical and he was always in the right place.
Bryce was smart as hell.
Exactly.
Smart. One of the smartest DBs you'll ever meet in your life. With the sponge, understood, pre-snap, knew where the splits were. A receiver lined up here. Where's the ball at? Okay, boom. Compute. What is the quickest threat as far as releases and routes that I need to look out for? Okay, I'm going to take that away. I got enough time to get to those routes because it's a long throw. Down and distance. I know he ain't going to run this. Oh, third and long. He got to come to the sticks. Let me stand at the sticks. Pedal high. Keep everything in front. Secure that the ball's coming out. Play through the hand. Secure the tackle, play through the hand. Like, a lot of DBs just don't really, like, and respectfully, as the game go on, like, at the beginning of the game, you can talk to a DB and they can give you the rundown. Always pay attention down this, where are the sticks, where's the ball lined up at, what's the coverage called, what's the weakness in the coverage. Like, they can start off knowing everything, first couple of series. But then as the game go on, it's like, whoa, I ain't never seen that formation. It ain't about what you've been scouting all week. It's about what does your instinct tell you. Yeah, it might be a new formation, but you still know your principles as far as the coverage. What's the weakness? Why are they diamond bunch set? They got to disperse, trap them, make them come to you. What's the down and distance? Oh, they might want to do double ends. I see the first guy go in. I know. Let me anticipate as another end route. You know, it's just certain things, but sometimes DBs, you get caught up in the hoorah, the crowd, the momentum. That's why you got to lock in. A lot of times I tell folks I couldn't hear the fans when I was playing. Like, I'm locked in on all the calls on the field. I can't hear nothing that's going on until we get a stop, and then your ears open all the way up, and that's when you hear, go, who's go. Like, that's when you hear your fan once your series is done. And ain't nothing more scarier than looking up in that damn dark sky, and you see that ball traveling 30, 40 yards. You can't hear nothing but... Then when you get up, don't drop it. Ah, oh, you suck. Yeah, man. So let me get back to the schedule, the last half, because that's what somebody alluded to. So we stopped at Louisville. After the bye week, it's a Thursday game versus Georgia Tech. Then we play versus Miami. Oof.
Home
we got them here in Charlottesville. Yeah. And then we go, and we got North Carolina here. Then we go to Pitt, which has been a difficult place for, oh no, Pitt is here. I'm sorry. So we got four straight home games. Yeah. Four straight home games. That's Miami, North Carolina, Pitt. And then we got goddamn on Coastal. Why they do that again, bro? I don't want no more non-conference games this late. Let me have mine early. If it ain't Liberty, it's BYU. Now it's Coastal Carolina. Come on, Jack. And then Virginia Tech and Blacksburg on the 26th. So, what games worry you guys in the second stretch? I'm always worried about the Georgia Tech because it's at Georgia Tech. They lost their running back. He went to Alabama. But the quarterback, he's going to be a young stud. I really like him. Miami here. Van Dyke, that's their quarterback name, right? Van Dyke, he came on late in the year. He played good football. You just never know with the U. We've been very fortunate to beat them here. Carolina here, they rebuilding. Well, we get to welcome Noah back, smack him up, take his Jordans from him like Debo. My J's punk. That's what I'm going to do after we beat him. I'm going to run on the field and take his cleat. Then we play Pitt at home and the Kurt. Coastal Carolina, that's a good team. Pitt, we just don't know. Addison, I think he's returning. I don't think he entered the draft.
And he's coming back. He's too young to go to the draft.
Okay. And then Virginia Tech is Virginia Tech. Up there in Blacksburg. That's hard to win that. It's hard to beat them there. So who want to take the first shot of All Right Sports?
Hey, what's up, Ball? What's up, Ball? Miami worries me. I don't know about everybody else, but Miami worries me. I mean, like you said, Van Dyke, I like how you played last year. He's definitely got potential. They're bringing Josh Gaddis in as OC. I mean, I know that's, you know, kind of off-field stuff, but I don't know. Miami is starting to worry me a little bit. I don't know what everyone else thinks.
Okay. I respect it. I respect that. Who's next? Oh, let me get OG Who back in here. What we got next? Don't all raise your hand at once. Hey, look, if you a listener and you want to provide your input on the schedule now, we're the second half, but if you want to come back and talk about the first half, again, we haven't factored in who's arriving here. We haven't factored in who's arriving at our opponent schools. It's just a hypothetical. It's early. It's kind of giving you, like, your first feeling looking at the schedule. Steve, go ahead, brother.
You know, I was about to say we're going to just run the table on these guys. Yes, I like the home games. You know, I like that it's all in a row. We're going to build some momentum. We're going to build a routine during the week. It's going to, you know, it's going to grow. I think that the one that scares me is Georgia Tech coming out of the bye and probably having done really well before the bye, that we might be a little, you know, confident and come out and get beat at Georgia Tech. And then either get beat at Georgia Tech or come real close to getting beat at Georgia Tech, which means the same thing to me. I think that that's going to be motivation to get us through the rest of the season. But I really think we're going to do well against all those teams.
Okay.
But, you know, not knowing our coaches and not knowing what they can do with our guys, I'm going to be optimistic about all of them.
Facts. Who want to go next?
I agree. I think that Georgia Tech game is a trap game, but we cannot let that one slip because, I mean, it's a tougher road down the stretch after that. But I guess the Coastal Carolina is tough. It is at home as well. Miami's at home too, right?
Yeah, Miami's at home. So you got you got Miami at home, Coastal Carolina at home. And who was the other two? Pitt
and UNC.
North Carolina, yeah.
Yeah, so the hardest games are at home. To be honest with you, that's what you want. But, I mean, if they really take care of this, until they beat Virginia Tech, I'm going to have to call that a loss.
Okay.
Even though everything in me wants to say a win. I mean, trust me, I'm rooting for a win, but they got to prove it. They know that. The Virginia Tech, I guess, a loss. And I guess I'll say Miami at home a loss. So two losses down the stretch. So 3-0.
Go ahead, OG.
Oh, we talking about the rest of the games now? Yeah, I'm locked in now. Ain't no more dead zones. Ain't no more dead zones, all right? I heard all the Nick Howell talk.
What if the guy's in place? What if the guy's in place? Got a coach and, you know, the scheme will change. Hey, man, the guy that I think that we got the people in place. We had the people in place the year prior. Just a little bit of this and that changed up with that defense that put us in that situation. So adding to the depth is a big thing, but I don't think we need anybody to replace what we got now. What we got now is born and raised, ready to fight, you know, especially, and then you got a brand new coach. So when I look at it, I hear we talking about Miami.
out here, I just see us in Miami for the Coastal this year. And I'm being real with you. If anybody in here can tell me who Virginia Tech quarterback is, then I will start there. But no, I don't give a damn if they beat us in the past a million times or not. This ain't the same. Everything is not the same anymore. It's just not. Those type of things happen when you get somebody of that stature with them rings hit when the lights hit the carrots, got their ass looking Chinese. Yeah, man. Hey, look, it's a different game today. It 100% is. So I like Miami. I like exactly what they've done. And again, they had the people in place already. Mario Cristobal ain't coming with 100 transfers. He's seen what he got. He hired the coaches, and they gonna make that thing work for real. I think Miami is our biggest threat when it comes down to it. That's the next best quarterback in the conference. That's gonna be a battle of the quarterback right there. In my eyes, when it comes down to a straight passer. The boy at Cunningham at Louisville, he nice as hell. He is. I can't take nothing away from him. But TVD and BA is the peak for me. That's the top for me. I can't wait to see that game. I cannot wait to see that game. And I don't know if y'all noticed the last 4 or 5 years we done played Miami. It ain't been no pushing a pop. It done been a dog fight every single year. Miami think they was sweet. They thought they was sweet with their little Hallmark trinkets hanging from the neck. We ain't seen none of that. We went up in their crib and stole all of that. We own the Orange Bowl. We own that too. We can't forget about that. So we got the Orange Bowl and we got your little necklace that you got out the little jar for putting a quarter in it. We got all of that. So I am not afraid of them. I feel like that is where we are at right there. That is where we are at. Yeah, they got higher forward vibe, man. None of that matters. It's all about coaching in between them lines and are we gonna hit hard enough? And for the last couple years, I would say the last 5 years, no matter if it's been at Miami or Virginia, it has been a certified dogfight. So that's a game that I'm highly anticipating right there. I think that game is going to decide the Coastal more than any other game that we play this season. Any other game. And there ain't no disrespect when I'm being real to any other team out there. Like I said, people say Virginia Tech, I don't even know who their quarterback is. So you telling me the guy from Marshall, Randy Moss's town, he coming and he's supposed to thug all day? No, man, I ain't with it. I'm just not with it. It's TVD and BA. And BA would be first. Them people that put that man over top of Brennan Armstrong, they need to have all their media credentials wiped away ASAP. That is just disrespect.
OG, I don't think it's the boy from Marshall. They got that transfer from South Carolina. Still, not
they
still.
Hey, look, all the Tech fans that I talk to, they expect the guy from Marshall. They saying the dude from South Carolina ain't all of that. They like, oh, this guy from Marshall. I'm like, oh, okay. And then they're going to tell you, and man, I see 8 to 10 wins with Pry. Well, who's your quarterback? Well, it's between Brown and Wells. Well, what the hell you mean? 8 to 10 wins, and you don't even know the man who could have the shot caller. And a new system on top of that, and a brand new atmosphere.
I 1,000% agree with you as far as the whole between us and Miami for the Coastal. The only thing, just like I said, I love to talk about it, but I want the players to be about it. We got to beat, like, it seems like even the years that we really take off outside of the year with Bryce, it seems like we'll be playing good. I remember that year with Mike London when we went to the Chick-fil-A Bowl. We were playing hella good. We get to Virginia Tech and lay a fucking dud, bro. I just need us to show up and be about it, and let's not talk about it.
That's a game that if you look at the landscape, when they go back a couple years, when Dr. Bob had that messed up interview, when Brenton Nelson could have fell on the ball in the end zone and we'd have won the game there. Technically, man, we should have been going for 3 in a row this year. So I'm not a firm believer in anything they're doing. They can tweet as many characters as Twitter will allow. With all the gifts and the videos, say the bookmark video, it doesn't move me 1 inch. Not an inch. The Charles Barkley, I'm going to look above my glasses like, okay. All right.
Only thing I can say, OG, is amen, brother. I'm totally with you on that one. Everything
yes, sir. Yeah, like, I mean, you've been getting out recruited. And we've been talking about how bad our recruiting been. You've been getting out recruited. So, I mean, eventually the tail going to show itself. It's going to stick right out the ground and it's going to show itself.
I pray you right, OG, because you're right. We should have won 3 in a row.
Yeah, man. That when you look at it, that really should have been three in a row. We should have covered the ball. We'd have won in the crib with Bryce. Then we'd have won the next year. I'm like, oh, man.
It's sickening. We got to change that narrative for sure.
And I think that comes with the territory of a new regime. You know, it should be thought about a different way. Just like when we first started these spaces, you know, a lot of people would put Virginia Tech as the bar. And that ain't the bar. I mean, I'm supposed to have to be the bar of a team that ain't been nice since I was in, like, high school in 2003, and it's 2022? No, sir, man. When you look at it, kids today have no idea who they are. None. They are regular. San Jose State. That's what they are. And I ain't even being funny. You are regular. You the people on Twitter, they fans put more in their fan base than what it actually is. That's just the realization of it. You ain't a powerhouse. All right, y'all cause an earthquake when you jump, and then y'all gone by the end of the third quarter. Wow-wee! You know? So I can't hang my hat on them. I'd rather hang my hat on Miami and then the Fruit Bowls. We see what they doing, and we know how they coming this year. We know they are stepping this year. They going to move a whole lot different. They going to put their pants on a little bit different with a little bit more pep in their step with Mario and the boys that they got down there on offense and defense. I expect the same. Think Dad's Kitchen's coming up in here, coming from an NFL product. No matter if the Falcons made the Pro Bowl or the playoffs and that. You a college player, you're gonna be listening a little bit different to somebody who was calling shots for the Atlanta Falcons the year prior. You're gonna be a little bit more tuned in. You're gonna try and jab your route a little bit harder, put your turn, all that dirt coming up when you turn. A whole divot in the ground gonna come up. That's just the way that you got to be in this new regime. So I have the utmost confidence in that. So let me pull up the schedule so I won't be out of the loop, you know.
Y'all see OG is super ready already. And we in February. Yeah, I've been
ready. Yeah, man. And then who we play, the Chanticleers? I'm damn sure not worried about Coastal Carolina. The only Chanticleer I respect, I don't know if y'all seen the movie Rock-A-Doodle-Doo. That's the only Chanticleer I respect, my boy. For real. That's the triple OG. Chanticleer. No, man, I don't know them yard birds and the smoke cluckers, man. That's a whole Cornish hen we finna bake up right there. No, sir. They tried to put the quarterback in the same category. This is gonna be a battle of the quarterbacks, McCall versus Armstrong. Hey, look, y'all gonna put some respect on my man's Brennan name out here, all right? Y'all thought y'all was funny a couple years ago, Great Value Andy Dalton. The media looked past him, everybody looked past him. He don't do nothing but just produce. Period. Well, what the little Hasselback say, the one that was sorry at QB, Brennan Armstrong just gotta set his feet and just be more smart in the pocket. Oh, smart like you was, right? Put the numbers up like he did, right? Man, get out of here with that. Sit your ass down somewhere, man. Keep sitting up here trying to disrespect my man as he taking records game by game. We not going to do that. So the Chanticleers, no way.
Just smoke my boy. Just smoke Tim Booth.
Hey, yeah, man. Hey, every time he come out here.
That's my NFL Europe champion backup quarterback. You know, that's my guy.
Every time he come out here, he be struggling with people's names and butchering everybody up. He better take some time and come out here and investigate. Get to know these great people out here. What's wrong with him, man?
Yeah, you know, Pitt, you can't get our team, W. our team, our players' name wrong. You know, it won't take you time. Man.
Nah, man. Nah. You already seen that. They chopped her down.
Fire in the hole.
UNC. UNC, Mac Brown on life alert, and then we don't know who that QB is. Dub.
Whoa, life alert, though? You Dub. Life alert?
Dub. He going to slip in the kitchen.
I can't get up. Mic.
Hit the button, player. They going to come get you. I promise. Georgia Tech should be a good game. Georgia Tech has been, they've been getting better. Now, you know, they should have been better than what they were last year. I like their quarterback. They got a pretty decent quarterback. Louisville, that's going to be a game. Duke, even though they got Zion Berton, that Zion Berton effect ain't going to take place in like 2-3 years, and he's going to be gone up the road somewhere else. He ain't staying at Duke. He ain't bringing millions of dogs to Duke. ODU terrifies me. If I have to be honest, me being me, ODU terrifies me. If there's one game that I'm going to look at on this schedule and think about really hard, it's going to be ODU. It's going to be ODU because Ricky Rain has been building down there. They got Brendan Clark, a four-star quarterback from Richmond, went to Manchester. Elite 11 quarterback, went to Notre Dame, transferred. He sat behind the boy Ian Book. So he primed. He's ready to go. He is ready to go down there. And they got some receivers. Ali Jennings from Hollis Springs that went to West Virginia, transferred, had a career year down there. Lamarion James. And Lamarion hates UVA and Virginia Tech because we overlooked them. Down there, Indian River, Ben Smiley's teammate. That man set records down there. He is a problem.
So yeah, y'all hear the bias in his voice change? Go. Keep going.
Hey, I'm watching them, man. I'm watching them boys, man.
Nah, you right, man. You right. The boys definitely got a chip on their shoulder. Damn right.
Yeah. They coming because they feel like they belong, and that's something that the state would need anyway. You got four big time schools jousting for the top spot. That's love right there. So they ain't gonna be coming on no short stack. They want the whole whopper. U of R, we better not lose the U of R. I tell you that. We better not spray the raid down, kill all the spiders.
Yeah, we can't have a repeat of a new in the new
no person. Sir, that would just be disheartening.
Yeah, that'd be trash can juice.
That would be breaking us apart. So other than that, man, I mean, this is a very favorable schedule. That's why I said earlier, 8-10 wins. And
so you got 8-10 wins?
Yeah, I got 8-10 wins. And I'm putting all my chips into this coach and our coaches that we have in place with the players that we have in place. You know, so some of those games that we lost, again, it could have came down to management. Clock management, just a lot of different things could have gone when who knows, somebody could have been in charge, you know? Offensively, yeah. We could have pounded the ball more than the Miami game and the Louisville game, and wouldn't have depended on the field goal. So if some of them variables change, I think we sit right back where we were last year, except stronger. But ain't nobody know how Brennan was going to come in, coming off that 5-win COVID year.
Nope.
Ain't no. I was sitting there. Hey, this is baby Tebow. He is coming with it. He's coming for all the thunder. And he did exactly that. So I expect like times three this year. You know what I mean? That man could have went and got a little quick bag and did his little thing. He could have did just that. But it's something else that him himself, he wants to accomplish. It's the coaches that you have in place that are going to help you. Now, you don't think Tony Elliott went there and looked at all his options and then thought in the back of his head, I done had damn Deshaun Watson, Kelly Bryant, you know, Trevor Lawrence, DJ Uiagalelei. He ain't pan out as much as he did. But shit, I bet you Brennan do. He fits right in that category. The only difference is that man earned his name. It wasn't given to him to no 4 and 5 star camps. That man went out here dotting everybody's ass up.
Hey, and I'm just trying to figure out respectfully, because I like to play devil's advocate. Like, that offense for Clemson struggled, and we know their resources as a whole, like, on paper better than ours as far as, like, what stars the offensive linemen were and, like you said, with DJ, you know, Brennan's better than him, but he's still a top-flight talent. And everybody wants to know, well, why did they really struggle? And how can you expect for us just to be, you know, a well-oiled machine? So what's your thoughts on that question that people throw out there?
I think it's a culmination of things that Clemson had boiling that people don't see. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people, a lot of them assistants and strength and conditioning assistants and them assistants of assistants, a lot of them was ready to go. Uh-huh. A lot of them was ready to go. So I think it was a culmination of a lot of things that behind the scenes that we don't know. I think it was injury that took a part to it. You know, they took some big hits. And then again, that's a draft factory. So what you see year to year out there in Clemson is not going to be the same as you see sometimes in Virginia. You know, you might see the same offense 2-3 years in a row. Over there, that joint, it changes frequently. Every 2 years, somebody going in the draft at a skill position. Every 2 years. So it changes frequently. And I look at how much draft talent they lost the year prior. That was a lot of talent to be losing, you know. And then you think you're going to double back and do the same thing. And then your quarterback didn't produce to what it was, what everybody thought it was going to be. Everybody thought he was going to be the second coming out of St. John's Bosco. Put all that pressure on that young boy, and he won that. Signed with Dr. Pepper, and that soda was flat as hell. That soda was big flat that they gave my mans. So I think it's a culmination of things, but I can't knock 1 year of that versus 11 years of productivity that I've seen. 10 years. He was there for 11 years. I can't knock one non-playoff year. They done been there the last six.
Yeah.
Out of 10, you know. I can't discredit him for one season.
Yeah.
I still think, you know, we are in a great position, period.
No doubt.
He inherited something that he saw 2 years ago playing against. It's some of them guys that's still on the team that when we played Clemson in that championship game, they are still here.
Yeah, all the receivers except for crap.
When like Jana, it was like
Jana, yeah, except for Jana, yep. Really.
So, you know, he saw that, and he look at the roster. He probably went back to the game and was like, well, damn.
Yeah. Jacob, you got something?
Well, damn.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I found it, like, if you would have read the Clemson boards around the time Tony Elliott was getting interviewed by us, you would have thought they had lost, like, every game but four games. This man, in a bad year, won 8 or 9 games. Like, I was laughing like crazy. I was like, these ungrateful sons of bitches.
That's them expectations that he was talking about, that you was talking about earlier. That's all that was.
Yeah.
They got high expectations. They got real expectations over there. They expect a college football playoff. And I don't know how you can't when you done been to six of it. You know what I'm saying? You done been to six. I think it done been how many? 9 or 10? And you'd have been the 6 out of them.
Yeah, I mean,
that's what I expect. You know, you expect that.
I mean, to be and to be honest, like OG said with the expectations, like you can understand why folks at Clemson were kind of panicking because they had never seen their offense look so pedestrian like that. The defense was top notch.
Look at what they be having at receivers. Look at all the receivers that they got. My man got receivers in the Super Bowl.
So their offensive production was very pedestrian, and that's being nice. So I wasn't there. I wasn't really breaking out every game that they played. So I don't know what really was going on. I don't know if DJ was just struggling with his reads and things of that nature. But I know a lot of folks have been sending me that as a question. It's like, yo, I know y'all excited. But like you said, this is Kitchen's offense, and Coach Tony said that. So it's not like he's bringing his offense and he's calling the plays. This is Kitchen. And while we're talking about coaches, let's go ahead and discuss the greatest news that we can get, and that is Coach Marcus Hagans was tagged the associate head damn coach.
So let's reintroduce him. Associate head coach. My associate head coach. Marcus Biscuit Hagans. The one, the embodiment, the who, the definition of a who. When you look it up, I'm pretty sure you're going to see him and Bobby Bowden, God rest his soul, talking about the same person we talking about. That is so huge to me, and that is so earned. And if there's one thing that I could take from the last regime, is that statement right there. Earned and not given, my boy. He earned every bit of that. Starting from like a GA all the way up.
Yep.
At the crib, yep. On top of that, that's not often that we are blessed enough to see that development and the rise of a coach like that in his own palace, in his own kingdom. Because we see coaches get burned in their own crib every year.
Yeah.
Just like Ballhawk was trying to tell y'all, we get Dez over here, things go soft, and it's going down. I done seen it, you know.
Yeah, man, and for him to
well freaking deserve.
Definitely well deserved, man, and for him to be retained by two separate new coaches says a lot about him and his ability. And the thing about it, his track record speaks for itself. Just look at his position groups every year. Just look at them every single year. You know, nobody knew what Lavelle Davis would be. First game of the season, he becomes the heir up there versus Duke. He go down with an injury. Everybody like, oh, my God, we done lost Lavelle. Up, here come Wicks. And then Billy Kemp has been old reliable every year. All he do is just catch. Look at Billy Kemp in the record books right now.
Well, he's going all the way up. He's going all the way up.
I mean, look at KT, how he's helped him develop as a top flight receiver. Just knowing the little nuances. And then Starling and what he's going to do with Starling with all that damn speed he got.
With Malachi? Malachi,
his transition from Monticello High School as a quarterback to being a guy that started playing major minutes, whether it was tight end, tight H, the backside X by itself. Like,
that man's special. That man's special. He different. He big different, too.
And then you got 2J is now the head of recruiting. I mean, I guess he showed what he can do. You lost your whole offensive line. What you going to do, Coach 2J? Shoot, let me go re-up. Let me go talk to this connect right quick.
That's all he did. You know? He got double bagged up.
You know, say what you want, but he addressed the need. People could, you can go, and y'all do me a favor and take them stars and shove it up your candy, you know what. He went and addressed the need. Don't give me what this school was compete. I don't care what school was compete with what. Address the need. Coach by developing them.
And say that one more time.
You ain't going to be saying, well, this kid was. Nah, you're going to be like, oh, damn. Y'all like Olu. Everybody and their mama wanted Olu when he first. Like, nobody knew about Olu when he came here. Don't front. I like that respectfully to them. But y'all won't out here screaming, oh, my God, we got Trubota, we got Olu, we got Glazer. Y'all won't talking nice about them. Don't y'all know I hold y'all accountable. Don't do that. So don't do that now. Well, it's not like we were trying to beat out major schools, but shut your mouth. Because the kids we had that we lost, we're in the same scenario. And y'all up here singing their praises and they earned it. But that guy was right there being the tutor just getting them right. So I don't want to hear that.
Exactly what I told some guppies online the other day. Well, you excited because you got a bunch of no star linemen. Hey, you beat out Dartmouth. You beat out Dartmouth. Hold on. What does that say? We got a bunch of no name talent with one of the best developers out here.
Oh, it's some talent there, a lot.
You know, I'm like, dog. He is one of the best developers, and he has that eye. He has that eye. What he did 6 years ago, I have zero question to anything he does today. Turning tight ends to tackles to tight ends. Facts. So I have zero questions about any move he makes.
Facts. OG Warren, you got a question? Your hand was up.
What's going on, sir?
Yes, sir. How you, brother, and doing?
What's going on, sir? Doing good. Another day.
Y'all talking about a good topic, and I did want to elaborate or discuss a little bit more on analytics. A lot of the I think one guy tweeted out, and I think he does it for UVA, and I asked him, does he do that for the whole team? And he stated yes. So two things that comes up when he stated yes. I'm saying, okay, well, what are the coaches looking at when they evaluate talent on the field or what they do per game? And I don't know who tracks that or who looks at that, as well as one of the key words you guys keep bringing up is development. And the development needs to go across the whole team, not just the wide receivers. And we didn't see that happening. So I think that relates to a lot of the other stuff that was going on as well. And just FYI, I know you guys know Caleb Williams. So I don't know if a lot of the fans know that the center for Caleb Williams is on the UVA football team, who has not played or been on the field, but the boy can play.
Big Jesus. Big Jesus. Anybody with the name Jesus, serious as hell. All right? He eat yams right out the pot, probably. That's that old man name. He got them hard knuckles that hit you in the back of your head. Jones hurt. I bet you.
Yo, you stupid, man.
Yes, sir. I've been watching.
He on the road today.
He ready.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus ready.
Yeah, he lit today. I'm letting him ride, too.
I see.
You see your sister pacify down there?
Yo, Ike, what's up, man?
What's good, man? How you doing?
I'm good, bro. I know you loading up for that Duke UVA game in Cameron, huh?
Man, I am sick as a dog. I might fall asleep.
Oh, word?
I might fall asleep here soon, bro.
Oh, DVR it, damn, brother.
I know, right?
Stay away from the group chat. That's what I do. I stay away from the group chats doing all games. I don't want to see nothing. It could go from panic to cheer back to panic. I'm like, oh, no. Do not disturb. I don't want to see nothing.
But this is actually insane to me. We are 12-point underdogs. That's the most since 2011. That is insane.
Damn.
Just that 12 nice? Points is the most since 2011. That's crazy.
Yes, they are.
That nice? Shows how great we've been, man.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Facts plus stats. Yeah. But, yeah, Ike, man.
It's a game tonight.
Shoot, we're going to talk about a lot of topics, man. I don't know what you heard. We talked about the schedule. Just throwing it out there. Had a little bit of fun in February. You know, I know it's on February 7th. We don't know who is who and what is what. But, you know, my man OG saying 10 wins.
I told him, too. Ben told him. 8 to 10.
10 wins. I think the schedule is nicely.
I said 8 to 10 last year, too.
8 to 10. I said that last year, too.
Yeah,
it was there.
The loss was just—it was so yeah, and that's what makes me feel even more confident about it this year, because a lot of those guys that made me pick that 10 are still here, you know. So
I mean, if we didn't lose the transfers, y'all be talking real spicy. Y'all be saying undefeated. I know y'all would.
Oh,
you ain't lying. You ain't lying. I'd be with the big lies. Tony got the college football jacket ready for me. I'd be with him. Yes, sir.
Man. So, yeah, man. I just wanted to chop it up with y'all. I didn't get a chance to talk about the schedule. And my man Biscuit and 2J earning those promotions for being, you know, two of the three holdovers from the last staff. I think that's a big deal. I mean, like you said, they earned it. 2J earned the head of recruiting, man, because what he did as far as going to attack the knee, and not just knee, but when you see those guys huddle highlights, bro, they could go. And I'm just sitting there like, damn, man, I would hate to be a recruiting service. All these thousands and thousands and thousands of players at each position, and you got to try to put a star by their name? I couldn't do it. Wouldn't want to do it. Can't do it.
Hey, Bob.
Yeah.
We all saying 8 to 10, but what was your guess?
I don't never do it. You almost got me, Jake. I never do it, bro. I do it like in my own head, but I would say this. This is what I do, Jacob, and I'm glad you asked me that question. I will say that I don't see a game as of right now in which we wouldn't be the favorite. When I look at the schedule, the only game I can see that we wouldn't be the favorite is Miami. And possibly Tech because of the streak and how they've been beating us in the past 20 years. I can see those two games if I'm just looking and say, okay, which games would they have us favored? Those would be the two games that they probably wouldn't have us favored.
I almost had you there. I almost did.
And I was saying in my episode, if you want to attach those as wins and losses, like the games of being favored as wins, you could do that because that's how I look at it. Like, when last year going to the season, I had – what games did I not have us favored in? I didn't have us favored in the UNC game when I just looked at it on paper. And I didn't have us favored
the Notre BYU Dame, probably.
Game on paper. Oh, yeah, Notre Dame. No, it was three games. Yep, those are three games I didn't have. I had BYU as a swing game, and I know that's not a good name to attach to BYU, but whoa, wait a minute. If y'all catch the joke, catch it later.
You nice.
And Notre Dame, those are two games I was like, all right, we ain't going to be favorite, but yeah.
I knew BYU was setting up to be a
Travis. They'll catch that joke later. Well, I see a swing game at BYU. I watch a lot of battle rap, man, so excuse me.
That BYU game, I had that circle, man. And so did the BYU fans, man. I'm trying to tell you. Oh, God. Yeah. That's just memories that right there.
That was
Man.
But BA had us thinking there for a second.
Yeah, he did. And then we all know what happens after that. They fans was right. I know that. I ain't never been tormented by BYU. That joint had me ready to rethink my whole life.
And they served you ice cream when they did.
Yes, sir.
Did BYU not seem like the most physical team we played last year? Like, they were so physical, bro.
Yeah, they were.
Yes.
They were.
Yes.
They were. They were the most physical that I've seen.
And you know what? That pissed me off, man. I just knew in 6 years, that's exactly what I was expecting us to sort of resemble. You know what I'm saying? And anytime I looked at BYU, they have always just been a physical team, dog. And we showed flashes.
They got that
growth.
Yeah, man.
When I played against BYU, bro, I ain't gonna lie. Hitting them was different.
I'm
not just saying cliche because they are in fact older, but playing against them, I was just like, whoa, like hitting their backs, I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah, man, I've been seeing him. I always had a thing for Bronco because of what he was able to accomplish at that school. Fred Warren ain't no Mormon. All right. Ziggy Ansah ain't no Mormon. Jamal Williams running back for the Packers ain't no Mormon. All right. All right. So he was doing something over there. Okay. So they ain't going to fool me. That's why I was like, man, Buddy going to be able to recruit over here. He was over there changing religions. What you mean? He going to do this thing here. I'm like, what? And he did the same, man. He did exactly that. And then I knew that was the game for us for him to be like, this is my moment. This is why I left here. And at the end of the game, I was like, well, damn, this ain't it. I was like, this is not it. This was not it. They won't go never stop scoring. I was like, yo.
But like Ballhawk said, I'm done with them scheduling those type of teams at the end of the, like, after BYU, we needed a healthy team. We was banged the hell up.
Yes.
They beat us up, man.
They beat us up. They was laying wood. They were laying wood on offense.
That running back looked like a grown ass man.
Look, yes.
He was. That man, my gentleman.
Yes, he was.
Once I read his story before the game, when I was doing research on him and I read his story, I was like, oh, hell no, he going to be different.
Yeah.
After that game against us, they got that man going in like the second round now.
He legit. He is
legit. Yeah, I watched him a couple games after that because my pride was hurt. I was like, man, I got to see if he really liked this.
He that type of running back that wears you down.
Didn't he rush for a school record that day?
Yeah.
I think so. Or either that or the touchdowns.
He was a lot of records that day. He was more physical than James Conner at Pittsburgh. Like, he was physical, man.
Yeah, he ran by. Mm-hmm. Connor is a patient, powerful back. That kid was downhill. He shahisha.
Yes, he did not care.
Our scheme to stop him looked good until you realize we kept asking our best tackle in the secondary. His body just couldn't match up with that. Like, that's like asking you to fight a dude who's known to go to the body, and he keep going to the body. And when we kept having Joy come down solo, which is what we want in our defense, like, he's our best tackle. But I was like, the opt is just, nah, that's a bad matchup because that joke was running hard.
defensive backs. The only linebacker I saw bring him down by himself was Nick.
Was Nick. Yep, it was Nick.
And you know
that's
how you know
he was legit. That's how you know he was legit. And he realized Nick was legit, too, because he thought he was just going to run up in Nick's chest. Nick was like, nah, dog, go to sleep.
Both of them hit each other. Both of them hit each other and looked up like, wow.
Damn, they knocked each other out.
Yeah, they both looked up confused like, ugh.
That's two Megatrons hitting each other.
Facts. Yes.
Nick, when Nick hits you, dog, you goes night-night. Nick Jackson stud, bro.
The truth.
Hey, Matt, what's up, brother? You got something you want to say, man? That's why you've been waiting patiently.
Oh, thank you, man. It's a honor and a pleasure to be talking to you guys. I wanted to bring up two things that I've noticed here recently is quarterback offers and running back interest and offers. And I wanted to talk about how that kind of shows some insight into schemes and stuff because, you know, they've been saying they're going to run the offense to what our strengths are currently. But going forward, I thought that was really interesting seeing those three quarterback offers go out. You know, guys within the 6 foot to 6'3" range, dual threat.
Mm-hmm.
So I was going to, you know, ask what you thought. If you've seen that, what you thought about how that translates to the offense going forward.
Yeah, now that's a great question, man. I think so in college football, the more of a threat your quarterback can be with his legs, the more difficult it is for defenses, right? Because you got always have to account for them. And everybody runs a spread concept, and I'm pretty sure we'll run a spread concept, inside zones and counters. So just putting in the belly of the running backs, which will hold the linebackers, allowing the guards to get up second level before they can really commit like they want. If you saw our games last year, our linebackers, anytime they had to read and decipher what was going on, everybody, anytime they ran inside zone versus us, the guards was right up on them versus just allowing them to attack. So it makes you – it kind of dictates what you want to do. So with the young quarterbacks we got coming in with this class, and I talked about them early, both of them could fly. Like one of the best times in the nations in their respective individual events and track. Lane was first in state last year in the 55 here, and the kid from Florida was like top five, I want to say, in the hurdles or the 300, one of them. So that just shows you that what they want. They want to put stress on those ends so they can't come up the field. And the one thing I like about Tony Elliott, is he's been around so many great defenses at Clemson that he could kind of foresee how to attack somebody who may have a lot of athletes on defense and how to keep their eyes moving in the wrong direction and being deceptive. So, but it is Kitchen's offense too. So it's all about what he does, but that's a great pickup by you and kind of identifying how they're recruiting as far as the body types, the makeup and what they can and can't do. Cause that will tell you what type of direction. Look at our receivers. Twitty, he's a big kid, 6'4", the kid from New York that had the AC, I think he's 6'4", 6'5". So that's showing you we're going out there getting bigger size. That's a bigger catch radius, meaning you don't have to be as accurate. And that plays a role as well. You look at Clemson receivers of the year, bigger size guy, except for the kid that went to Oakland. He was that shifty guy like Billy is. So you always need those shifty guys in the slot. But the bigger size receivers increase catch radius, which allows your quarterbacks not to be as accurate. But, you know, when they catch the ball, it counts for their completion percentage. But you know what I'm saying.
Absolutely. I also hope that we can see from a run blocking perspective. I think more zone run blocking. I know any time over the past probably 2 years that we came up against a team that was going to do that, especially like Louisville with their stretch concepts, I kind of just closed my eyes and hope for the best because it wasn't going to be good most of the time. I appreciate those running concepts because, I mean, like we've all talked about on here, I just hope to see some more runs.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. I think Coach Elliott is going to preach to Coach Kitchens. Let's be balanced. Let's understanding that if there are question marks on defense, the more balanced we are and the more we can hang on to the football, the better it will help our defense and alleviate any miscues or anything that could take place. And that's why I felt like this year, if we would have invested more into the running game, it would have helped with our defense, and we probably would have won more games because we would have slowed the pace down and slowed the game down, allow the defense to rest, allow them to have more time to put in those adjustments. And that's why football is the ultimate team sport, man. It's hand in hand. So I hope that Kitchens can bring that balance and utilize the weapons. Because we got running backs here that can run. Like, you can feed them the rock. We know we have the weapons on the outside. So the more we can demonstrate that we can run the football consistently, the more you get one-on-one coverage on the outside, the more Brennan becomes that more dangerous, because safeties have to declare. Backers will start blitzing. So it leaves you one-on-one on the outside. And, yeah, man, that I'm excited. So with that being said, man, I got to get to the Zoom meeting in the next couple minutes. I appreciate everybody that tapped in today. If you missed this and didn't start at the beginning, I will upload this later tonight as a podcast episode. So as always, man, appreciate everybody that tunes. And I know these spaces that I have is at a time where people are still at work. So that's why I like to record them and upload them as podcasts. Yeah, man. And go Hoos, man, as always.
OG Hoos.
Yeah, make sure. Hey, yo, if you're a female and you want to get your man a gift, man, manscaped.com. Use the promo code The Ball Hawk Show. Yeah. Alcova Mortgage, salute to them. Brand new sponsor of The Ball Hawk Show podcast. Make sure you check them out. That's Alcova Mortgage. And also Able Insurance, man. Until next time, man. Wahoo, wah, Ball Hawk. We out of here. Peace.
Wednesday.
Oh yeah, Wednesday.
Wednesday. Oh, peace. We're gonna finish the defensive side of the ball. We already did the offensive side of the ball. We broke it down with tweets for each player, clips and highlights for each player while explaining each player. So that was the offense. We're gonna switch it to the defense this Wednesday. Wednesday at 8 p.m. We're gonna be out there. You already know I'll be on the porch. So y'all come holler at me.
Facts. There you have it. Holla at my dog, OG Who, man. Ball Hawk, I'm out of here. Make sure you hit him with a follow so you keep up with everything he's doing. And wahoo, wah, man. Peace.
Already, go Who's, baby.